Welcome to the Message of the Bible GPS. Today we're going to focus on a very important topic, and that is a longing that we all have as human beings. And that is a longing for satisfaction. That is a longing for well-being. So we all have that longing. But for many people, that longing for self-satisfaction or that longing for a good life, for many people, it really escapes them. So we're going to focus today on how can we experience a life of well-being, a life of satisfaction. But before we're going to focus on our message, let us just bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we want to thank you for your amazing love. Thank you, God, that you are a good God. And thank you, God, that you have given us your word, your wisdom, to help us to live this life in a better way. Lord, we all long for satisfaction, but for so many people, it evades them. Thank you that we can focus on a passage today that can help us to experience satisfaction in life. I pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. As I've said, we all long for satisfaction in life. Now, there's a song by the Rolling Stones. It says, "Ain't Get No Satisfaction." It was one of their best hits, "Ain't Get No Satisfaction." And for many people, it's true. So many people can resonate with that song, the title of that song, "I Ain't Get No Satisfaction." We all want a life of well-being. We all want to be happy. We all want to go to bed at night and feel, you know what? I am in a good place in life. But so many people don't experience that. Now, the Bible has a word to describe actually that feeling that we are longing for. And the Bible uses the word contentment. And as I've said, so many people don't experience that. But I want to take you to a Bible passage, to a person in prison. And his name is Paul. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 that he actually did experience contentment. So let me read for you Philippians chapter 4. Paul is in prison, not good circumstances, and he writes the following. He says in verse 12, I'm actually going to read from verse 12. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So in this passage, Paul is saying, you know what? I've learned the secret of being content. Whether I don't have enough, whether I've experienced abundance in life, in all situations, good or bad, I have learned what it is to be content. Now, that word content, Paul got from the Stoics. Now, they were an ancient school of Greek philosophers, and their major goal was to experience contentment. Now, for the people in the Stoic movement, in that ancient school of Greek philosophers, their way to experience contentment was to detach them from pain, from suffering, even from good things in life. So if they were in a group and there was someone who cracked a good joke, they will not even laugh because they don't want to outside things to determine how they feel on the inside. So they completely detach them from everything from the outside. For them, it was to be self-satisfied. That is actually the word, the meaning of this word in Greek, to be self-satisfied. So Paul borrowed the word from the Stoics. It was their major goal in life. And Paul said, "I experience contentment." But Paul didn't experience contentment like the people in the Stoic movement, those philosophers. For Paul, it wasn't to detach, because as Christians, we don't detach ourselves from this world. We are in contact with this world. We are connected. We are in touch with this world, not in sync, but we are in touch. We hear the cry of people. We show sympathy for people. So what is going on around us really impacts us. Even God, you know, right in the beginning of the Bible, when he saw the wickedness of humanity, it says in the Bible, it grieves him. So even God was not detached from what was going on in the world. So the Stoics, you know what, they were actually people who were so detached that they were actually, one can say, cold people. They didn't have true feelings. They were so busy with themselves, so they didn't really live a real life. They were not in touch with reality. But Paul was in touch with reality, and in spite of that, he said, in all the situations, I experience contentment, satisfaction. Now the question is, how is that possible? And maybe we ask the question, is it even possible to experience, especially during the time of the pandemic, to experience contentment in all circumstances? Now, when we look at this verse, there's something that can help us to understand it better, because Paul says it is possible to experience contentment. It says there, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So I want to focus on a word that we many times don't focus on, and that's the word learned. I have learned to be content. So what I like about that word, it is a process. You don't go to a school, or it's not a magic thing that you experience contentment. It is not three steps that you follow. It is something that you learn in life to be content. And it's not always easy to experience that contentment. When I was working on this passage, I was thinking of losing weight. You know, so many people struggle with it, but we all want to lose weight. We all want to be in shape. And this is what contentment actually is. It is something that you need to learn. It's not always easy to experience contentment. It's a kind of a struggle, but it is possible, because Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances, in every single situation. And that is important to focus on that, because that's the longing of every single human being in this world, is to be content, is to be satisfied, is to have a feeling of well-being. So that is very important. And Paul said, you know what? I have the secret of feeling content in all circumstances. Now, if we look at this passage, we realize that it is indeed a kind of a secret to feel content, because Paul realized, and he mentions the word in all situations, that situations, circumstances can be elusive, because our circumstances, whether good circumstances or whether bad circumstances, they cannot fulfill the deep need in our hearts. They actually cannot minister to the deep need in our hearts. Augustine was a well-known theologian in the 4th century, and he also realized that, because he said, my heart is restless until it finds its rest in God, in Christ. Augustine realized, you know, circumstances cannot really meet the deep need of the heart. And many centuries later, the well-known mathematician and theologian Pascal said, every human being has a God-shaped vacuum. And then he said, nothing in this world can fill that God-shaped vacuum. Only God through Jesus Christ can fill that vacuum. Every single human being has that vacuum deep in their heart. And Paul says, the secret is to understand that circumstances, whether good or bad, can never fill that vacuum. You can buy your dream car, your dream house. You can go on a dream vacation. And I can share so many stories of people who have experienced fulfilling their dreams, and they still have a feeling of discontentment. Because Paul says, if you want to understand contentment, realize that situations cannot fulfill that God-shaped vacuum. Only Jesus Christ can fill that. And by saying that, even Paul says in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, everything that I've gained in life, I count as a loss, because knowing Christ, surpasses everything. So that is the wealth in this world, is to know Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know, today I will give you living water and it will quench your thirst forever. He's the bread of life. Because knowing God through Jesus Christ, this is actually the need we have, to know that we are loved. We don't need to perform. God loves us as we are. We don't need to impress God. We can just relax in the presence of God. We are forgiven. So Paul realized, number one, circumstances cannot meet the deep need. And then Paul also realized, when you read his books, his letters, that it is all about loving people and using things. But for some reason, we have reversed that. It is not about loving people and using things for humanity anymore. It is using people and loving things. That is the problem that we are facing. But Paul said, if you want to fill that vacuum, follow the summary of the Ten Commandments when Jesus said, you need to love God and you need to love people and use things, because money is good. We cannot serve God and money. We cannot serve God and things, but we can serve God with money and we can serve God with our things. So we love people and we use things. But today it is using people and loving things, because people think that things will fill that God-shaped vacuum, and it won't. And because so many people live with this mindset of using people and loving things, it is all about having what I want. I want that car, I want that house, I want that dream for vacation. So it's having what I want instead of wanting what I have. Because to be content is actually wanting what I have. Because you have maybe in your life so much already. You have maybe a house, maybe two houses, money in the bank, you have good health. There's always reason to be thankful. And that is why Paul says in Philippians 4 as well, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it, rejoice. So Paul realizes that you need to rejoice, you need to say thanks. Because in a previous message I said that scholars say that when we learn the habit of saying thanks for something every day, maybe three things, five things, doesn't matter, it releases your anxiety level, your level of depression. It actually makes you more happy when you're thankful for what you have. So to be content, the secret is not focusing on having what I want, but focusing on wanting what I already have. And there's a beautiful song that will help us to understand that, and that is Count Your Blessings. So to be content, it is actually loving people and using things, and not using people and loving things. To be content is not having what I want, but wanting what I have. Corrie ten Boom was a well-known Dutch lady who helped the Jews escape during the Nazi regime. And she said something very profound. She said, when you focus on the world, you will be distressed. When you focus within, you will be depressed. When you focus on Jesus, you will be at rest. And another word for that, you will be content. And why will you be content when you focus on Jesus Christ? Even Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, focus your gaze on Jesus Christ, because he's the perfecter of our faith. Jesus Christ came to give us wisdom. Jesus said, I love you as you are. I've given you eternal life. It's all about knowing God. It is relationship. And there are so many examples, and I know so many people, I know so many of my friends who really experience a life of contentment. And the reason why is because the center of the life is Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, we have enough. May God help us, like Paul, to learn what it is to be content. It's not easy, it's a process, because we always wanted to have a little bit more money. We always want to have a little bit more vacation. We seldom satisfied. But by giving thanks for what we have, wanting what we have, not having what we want, and not using people and loving things, but loving people and using things, you will get to that place of contentment. It's a process. And then in verse 13, there's a beautiful verse that Paul says, it is possible. That's a well-known verse. Many sports people use that verse. It says, I can do all this, in all the circumstances, to be content through Him who gives me strength. So Paul says, it is not a strategy, it is not a skill, it's a process where you realize Jesus Christ through His Spirit will give you the strength in the midst of your circumstances to be at rest, to be content, to even give thanks for where you are in your life. So this verse 13 is probably one of the most abused verses in the Bible. So many people go and they take this verse out of context and they say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, I can win the gold. I can make $1 million. So many people use this verse for self-satisfaction, for achievement. But this verse is meant for it's possible in all circumstances through Christ who gives me strength to be content, to be satisfied. May God help you. It's not always easy. It's like losing weight. It's a struggle, but it's possible to experience contentment. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, that Paul, in spite of being in prison, could share the fact that he was content in all circumstances, because he realized that it is not the circumstances that will meet your needs, but it is Christ in us that can fill that God-shaped vacuum, because our circumstances will always fall short to meet our deep need. The only thing that can meet our deep need is Jesus Christ. It is relationship and to love other people and to use things. It is to serve God with money. It is to serve God with our things. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of Paul, and help us, Lord, to start this process, to learn what it is to be content. I pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. So wherever you are, God has placed you to learn what it is to be content. And wherever you go, God is sending you into a world where there is so much discontentment, where that song, I Ain't Get No Satisfaction, rings true for so many people. But just with your demeanor, you can go into this world. In spite of your circumstances, people can see a deep peace within you, because you know it is not using people and loving things. It is loving people and using things. May God bless you, and God will use you this week. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing love of our Father and the fellowship of God's Spirit be with you. Amen.